From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. As of today, just about all of the neighborhoods in New Orleans are open for people to return to their homes, except one. The Lower Ninth Ward, a mostly black and mainly poor community, took the brunt of Katrina's force. Then, weeks later, Hurricane Rita flooded it once again. Some areas are still underwater. There's talk of bulldozing the Lower Ninth Ward, but many families who trace their roots through the neighborhood, reaching back generations, desperately want to rebuild. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports.
In a cramped apartment in Baton Rouge, Gay Fulton and her family are camped out. It's her son's bachelor pad, seven people and a dog in a one-bedroom, and most of the living room's taken up by a pool table. It's the first time they've lived anywhere but New Orleans' Lower Ninth Ward, and it's been especially hard for Gay's mother-in-law, Vera.
My life, 81 years. I was born on Lazarda Street in the 900 block, and later I moved back into the 1600 block, and I've been on in that area for 81 years.
Yes, sister. Oh, that's all right.
Gay is a longtime activist in the Lower Ninth, an employee of the Housing Authority, and she's been burning through the minutes on her cell phone.
I'm in touch with anybody who has a cell phone. Housing officials, city officials, any kind of officials that I had cell numbers for.
But what about your neighbors?
I didn't have cell numbers on them.
Gay and her mother-in-law say they're isolated, lonely, and anxious to go back. A cousin has managed to get into the Ninth Ward and drive by their house. It wasn't good news.
The front porch had separated from the house. The roof had caved in, and a side of the house was falling.
If Gay Fulton could go back, she'd find some homes in even worse shape. She'd find streets littered with debris, oak trees stripped of leaves. Kenneth Ferdinand and his wife Melba are getting a peek. They also grew up in this neighborhood. They own a few cafes and are part of a small middle class that has been moving just outside, so they're able to drive back over the canal.
Look at the barge, you know.
Oh.
This used to be a canal. This is Jordan Avenue, the Jordan Avenue Canal. They closed it.
It's right in somebody's yard.
Yeah, it's where you used to live.
Yeah.
The Ferdinands park, climb out of their minivan, and stand near a powerboat beached on a sidewalk. As dump trucks and National Guard Humvees rattle by, I ask Kenneth what will be lost if these streets are not rebuilt. He remembers how his father, as a GI, was encouraged to settle here after World War II.
Originally, the opportunity here was to have a single-family home if you were black. This was the only area of the city where you could come in untouched, get a large piece of land, and build a home. That's what the Lower Ninth Ward, I think, represents.
The Lower Ninth is only part of the larger Ninth Ward, and the area wasn't always majority African American.
The Ninth Ward was originally settled by Irish and German immigrants. And you can see that very, very clearly and also French. You can see that very clearly in the churches that were there.
David Ware is an attorney who lived in the Ninth Ward for a decade.
The Catholic Church had a German church, an Irish church, and a French church, and these surrounded my house. So you had these three cultures mingling there, and they lived in little white shotgun houses with green shutters. All the houses were white, and they all had green shutters.
School desegregation in the 60s gave rise to white flight, dispersing people from the Ninth Ward all over the New Orleans area. Ware says they're now known as Yats, as in, where you at?
They talk like they're from Brooklyn. You know, where you at? Where you at, darling? And people who come to town think, what are all these people from Brooklyn doing running around New Orleans?
As whites left the Lower Ninth, new public housing projects went up. A number of homes were abandoned. And in more recent years, the neighborhood became known for its violent crime. Alongside the jazz and swing that had come from its streets in earlier decades, rappers emerged to tell their stories of the Lower Ninth. Rappers like Lil Wayne. And the bang bang wasn't just in song. In the weeks before Katrina, the local paper reported a series of gruesome shootings. One young mother was killed while running with her 2-year-old. Some evacuees relocated halfway across the country have told reporters they're happy to be out of the Lower Ninth and never want to go back. Cynthia Willard Lewis hates to hear that. She's the city councilwoman for the Ninth Ward, and on a cloudy afternoon, she's come to inspect the patched-up breach in the levee here. She stands between the industrial canal and rows of broken wood, the rubble of homes she vows to rebuild.
We understand that crime was rampant. It was rampant all over New Orleans. It was not confined to any one neighborhood nor any one group of people. It was everywhere. And we will fight. Those of us who stay, we will fight that at whatever point they want to come back, they will have the opportunity to come back in dignity and with opportunities available to them. We want them to come back.
81-year-old Vera Fulton is ready. In that crowded Baton Rouge apartment, she takes solace in the handwritten prayer books she saved from her house in the Lower Ninth. She keeps them in a large Ziploc freezer bag.
The Lord is blessing me right now. Woke me up this morning and he started me on my way. I don't have anything, but he's still blessing me. I'm here, see? And I will lift mine eyes unto the hill where cometh my help. It's just a ritual of things that I do.
But Fulton still misses the senior center she went to nearly every day, the neighbors who'd greet her from their front porches, the comforting routines of daily life.
Every night of our life until this storm, my family, we would all eat supper together. I did the cooking, they did the working. After, and every night we'd all be together. And we had Sunday and a Wednesday guest, Miss Williams. She would come eat every Wednesday. Then boy across the street, when he felt like it, he'd come over. Then my neighbor, and if we'd cook in a barbecue, and if they barbecue in the back, he'd look over the fence, he'd say, I like that too. So really, I miss all of that. And I don't know how anybody felt, but I felt like it was good living to me.
Vera Fulton doesn't know if she'll ever again see those neighbors or cook a meal in that house. But she's hoping to at least move back as close as possible to the only place she'll ever call home. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News.